Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman is here to answer your parenting questions. Lovely to see you again.
Good morning.
Now, this is a very busy time of year, isn't it? I mean, there's all sorts of things going on, heightened emotions at this time of the year. We have lots of people getting in touch, okay, as we always do.
As ever.
So we have the parents of an 11-year-old daughter. I don't know where to turn because there's little support out there, even privately. She was always bright, calm, gentle and loving. However, over the past 2 years, her demeanour has changed. Her mood can change from bright to sullen. It can further deteriorate into full shouting, crying tantrums. It has been a nightmare for my older child and myself. I talk to her a lot. I support her in every way. Her school is involved now. They would like her to get proper help. They've been very helpful and supportive. She has done play therapy but refuses to go back. It was quite good for a time. I really want her to be put in touch with the right person or people before she reaches puberty. We really need help. We can pay for any professional help, but we want to do so urgently. So they call this a temper problem. That's how they classify it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always intrigued when children's demeanour changes and changes quite radically at a given point in time.
This would have been when she was 9.
Yeah, so 2 years previously. And so, of course, I'd be thinking, oh, I wonder what happened 2 years previously. Did something change in the family circumstances? Did something change with regard to her school? Did something change with regard to her friends? Because it's quite likely that there was a something that led her to become upset, distressed, frustrated. What happens typically for children is that as their feelings kind of build up inside, they tend to all merge together. And it's a bit like mixing the primary colours of paint. So if you mix red and yellow and blue together, you get this muddy brown or black. If you mix the primary colours of feelings together, you get anger. And so often then what happens is anger is what gets expressed by a child, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually feeling angry. It's just that they have a lot of really complex, intense feelings inside. So the mom is absolutely right. I think it would really help to get some emotional support for her, some therapeutic support for her. But she's also quite correct. You know, where do you go? And I mean, I've got to the point myself, I don't even give recommendations when I'm not available because it's so hard to know who to recommend and where. And of course, you know, people contact me from all around the country. Your GP is often a best starting place to, because they may have names of people local to you. The play therapist that your child attended in the past might also know of other practitioners. Again, you know, lots of play therapy, you know, children who've attended play therapy go on to talk therapies, and so sometimes play therapists might know of other people in the locality as well. Mm-hmm. Or the other way for a lot of people is word of mouth, that they know somebody else who's been to somebody else, and then they have a name. And that, but then typically even with private practices, I gather there's really long waiting lists, and that's just
not much
the terrible situation there.
Difficult. Listen, this next one, and these always terrify me when I hear about children being excluded. I think it's just the worst thing, and it appears to be becoming more common. So this is about a teenager who had a great experience in primary school, then was fine in secondary school to a point, but then the boys he was hanging around with cancelled him. So he has no idea why it happened. He'd love to understand it. They've reported it to the sports team because it was a problem there as well. The coaches spoke to all the lads. They denied any knowledge of our son being cancelled. That was the end of it. Now, this person is interesting, the parent, because they say, I've worked with bullying issues through my work for 20 years, but I'm at a loss as to how to help my son. So all his social activities have completely stopped, apart from playing sports, which is great that he's carrying on with that. He seems relatively happy. I feel that perhaps there's something we can do to help him. His teacher said they notice him on his own quite often. He has one other friend, though, and he tells me that he's with him every day, but I doubt it. Any help would be much appreciated.
So exclusion is one of those things that it's almost impossible for the young person who's been excluded to deal with it themselves. They have no avenue to do so. How do they kind of reconnect with, you know, these other lads in this case who may have cancelled, is such an unusual expression to hear with regard to kids and teenagers. But that's obviously how the mum perceives it. So I think it is about going in to the school now and going back to the sports team and saying, look, irrespective of whether there's any understanding as to whether they have or haven't, or but the reality is he's not included now. Is there any way that somebody who has a, you know, some kind of connection with these lads could speak with them or talk with them, or at least let it be known that it's obvious that they are now are excluding him, that they've dropped him, that they've let him, you know, go from the group? And so that might either lead to him being brought back in, if he's interested in being brought back in. Mm-hmm. And I guess that would be, you know, a decision that he's going to have to make. That would be hard, I think, because he's probably going to carry a lot of hurt. But at least, you know, it's only when kind of people with more power get involved with the group who are doing the excluding that they might change their tune and that they might try to re-include somebody. But, you know, like, kids can be cruel, and so often there isn't a very clear explanation or understanding why somebody mm-hmm. is no longer seen as part of the group, and scapegoating happens in most groups, and so sometimes that becomes really severe and somebody's actually, you know, literally pushed out.
Would you consider, or would you consider advising the parent and perhaps the child to move schools?
So I think you move schools in situations where it's very clear that the bullying is happening in school and that the school are either unable or unwilling to do anything about it. And so it's not necessarily evident that it's the school's mm-hmm. fault in this case. You know, they've only just, I think, did they say that the school have now become aware of it too, or noticed now? So maybe I would exhaust your avenues with the school to see can they help re-include him. But again, where he's been excluded depends on where he's living, of course. If it's a small enough community and there's only one secondary school locally and this
might
is
be difficult, yeah.
It might be difficult. But if he has choice, well, then absolutely, you know, because if he's a, you know, bright, sociable lad, then of course there might be other opportunities for him if he was to move school. And so that might be something to consider where he might feel like he gets a fresh start. But again, with the world of the internet now and social media, sometimes that fresh start isn't as fresh as we hope it might be.
Yeah, well, good luck to them in dealing with it. This is another one. My 17 and a half year old girl can't stay in a room with us while we're eating. She can't stand the noise. She touches all the surfaces when walking from one room to the next. She's now wearing noise cancelling earphones in case someone in the house makes any kind of noise, like cracking a finger or sniffling. I'm trying to help her, but I'm really at a loss, and I'd be grateful for any advice.
So there are two things, or two ways of describing that. So hyperacusis is one, and misophonia is another. And so both of those, I think, are, I mean, lots of people have a bit of an ick when they hear other people chewing and or swallowing or whatever.
But eating an apple beside them, which is my one when I was 17.
But I think for some people, and it might be for this particular girl, you know, that kind of sense of little, you know, moves beyond that and it becomes something intolerable. And so hyperacusis is a particular sensitivity in hearing, and so that's worth getting checked out with an audiologist. Misophonia, I think, is more where it's of psychological nature, and that the fact that she's going around touching other surfaces would suggest maybe she has some other kind of OCD type stuff. And actually, misophonia is best treated as with cognitive behavior therapy, very akin to OCD. Mm-hmm. And but it's a long, slow process. I've worked with a couple of young people over the years with misophonia, and it's a tough one to try and work. But I would say that she might need therapeutic help. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first hurdle you've got to get over is having the child willing to go down that road with you.
Yeah, but then if it's becoming such a problem and she feels like, it depends on whether she's happy, in inverted commas, with being excluding herself from her family and going around with her noise cancelling headphones and not actually engaging with anybody. But if that distresses her, then she might well be willing to try and do something about it.
Okay, we have a 3-year-old, recently turned 3, started preschool in September. She was toilet trained during the summer, so just mm-hmm. before going to preschool. Loves school, but has regressed on toilet training in the last 2 weeks. Any advice?
Again, check in with the preschool now and see what, if anything, might have happened 2 weeks ago. So it may have been that she needed to go to the bathroom and just didn't quite make it. Maybe there was mm-hmm. a small accident which the preschool dealt with, as they would with any other small accidents. But maybe for that little girl, it was something quite, you know, challenging and traumatic almost for her that she had this accident. Or again, maybe, yeah, what's happening two weeks ago that suddenly, you know, she's starting to have more accidents and so on. Because I think when children have well-established toileting habits and then they change and they become incontinent again, that's usually an indicator of something emotionally kind of bothering them or something mm-hmm. distressing or upsetting.
You don't think
them.
It could be, look at me trying to solve this, but this time of the year...
that's what we're all trying to do, Claire.
I have found that the children get really tired coming up to Christmas, and then you're taking them into a period where they might be doing Christmas shows mm-hmm. and visiting people, and they're just exhausted, and things, little things like that can change.
You're just a good mammy now, Claire. There you are. All these little insights, absolutely. Yeah, it could be. And it could be, like I say, it could be just something small that for even the adults around wasn't significant, but that for her it was significant and it had meaning. Because she's 3, though, it's going to be hard to puzzle that out by talking to her directly, because she's going to be limited in what, you know, she can tell you about the situation. But maybe somebody else noticed something that might just give you a little bit of a clue, and then you can offer lots of reassurance mm-hmm. and empathy about whatever that issue was, and that hopefully will then get her back in the swing of her.
And hopefully it might just resolve itself. You know, it might be just one of those things. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
When she gets some sleep over Christmas, because that's
there you
happen.
Go.
We're all hoping for a bit of sleep over Christmas.
I'm going to try and squeeze another one in. Our 9-month-old girl won't eat many solids and is still very dependent on the milk bottle. How can I change this? Would you be worried about that at 9 months?
No, because again, lots of kids who breastfeed, you know, will breastfeed, you know, and that will be their main source of nutrition as well. I would say go talk to your public health nurse. That's the person to talk to about that kind of stuff. And that would, you know, they're so skilled and knowledgeable about feeding and all that kind of stuff with that age group. And so they'd be able to give you good steer whether it's something to worry about or not.
The public health nurse. Oh, here's a good one. My daughter's in sixth class and receives educational support. She's currently getting ready to enrol in secondary school. My preference is a small co-ed school where I feel she can avail of targeted support. Her preference is to go to a large all-girls school with all of her pals. Do I put my foot down and insist on my choice at the risk of her being very unhappy with me and away from her pals? How many parents of sixth class children have had that conversation?
Yeah, and it's such a challenging one. And I think what you do is you talk long and hard about it and try and come to the best decision. Whichever decision you pick, I would suggest that you say this is for a one-year experiment and we're going to see how it goes. And so typically it's evident by Christmas whether the decision is one that works for everybody or doesn't work for everybody. And so you would probably then know whether you might need to reconsider the choice that you made. But, you know, there is a big benefit to kids going with their friends. But of course, we also know that friendship groups shift and change quite radically in first year. And so those, you know, solid friendships that you went in with mightn't necessarily be as solid by the end of first year. And ultimately, you know, it's about, you know, where is she going to feel most settled, most happy? Because then she's going to thrive. If she's very unhappy, then she's going to struggle. And so I guess you're trying to weigh up whether the social connection is better or the academic support is going to be more useful to help her thrive. But yeah, so it's just a dilemma. There's no great answer to it.
The compromise is, though, this is for 1 year, whether you whichever school you choose,
yeah,
right?
That we will evaluate. We'll review it. Yeah.
Did you like my Christmas cake, David?
Loved it. Loved it. I don't know why you were so stressed about it. I mean, I get, you know. I think, did you say in one of your posts that you reckon that your OG mammy one coming from your
I
own mother?
I do think her one is better. But yeah, it is my first time to make it, but I had promised that I would bring you in a piece of Christmas cake.
And
I
was so
did.
Impressed and I really enjoyed it.
Well, listen, that's what you have to say that. He has it wrapped up in a tissue probably outside.
No, it's gone. The tissue's in the bin.
David, thanks so much and happy Christmas to you. That's David Coleman. And